Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we're going to have the honor of ushering in Shabbos Parshas Noach. If there was a parsha that was relevant to our modern times and the climate we are living in, which looks so gloom and doom and dreary, Parshas Noach would be one of them up there. The parsha begins, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik tamim ayah bedorosav. Noach was a tzaddik in his generation, and of course Rashi famously cites the Medrash, who notes the difference of opinion. Some say, wow, Noach was a tzaddik, and then others say that, wow, if he would have lived in the generation of Abraham, he wouldn't have been considered such a tzaddik. What's the real deal here? So Rav Amital Zatzal explained that Noach chose to quarantine himself, while Avraham Avinu got close and brought his message out to his people. Noach was afraid of the people, insofar as they were gifted with technological advancement from Hashem, and instead of using their spare time for stronger, better achievement, they had used it for idleness, and idleness, of course, without purpose, leads to destruction. Says Rav Amital Zatzal, that's one of the things that scared Noach and forced him to go further in, away from the people. And so, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him into the Teva, and, of course, the world is totally destroyed on land, and the Teva comes back and lands Al Hararei Ararat. And the Teva ultimately winds up coming to shore on Hararei Ararat. Now, why is it important for us to know where the Teva landed? So the great Rav Meir Golvech Shalita explained that our job in life is to get close to Hashem, even if it means from a distance, like the solitude of Hararei Ararat. We sometimes need to find a connection to Hashem. And by the way, says Rav Meir, that connection always goes through Yerushalayim, which is why the Yona brought the Ali Zayas, the olive leaf from Harazesim, according to the Medrash. And so even when you're as far away from Yerushalayim as Hararei Ararat are, there's always a place to connect to. There's always a place to turn around. There's always a source. And so when Noah comes out of the Teva, he brings a series of karbanos, and Hashem smells the reach anichoach, and he says, look, I will no longer destroy the world totally. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam rami ne'urav. The nature of man is evil from the beginning. Now, is that true? Is man inherently evil? So Ramban notes that man has a nature towards negative, and how he handles that pull towards the negative, and how he chooses to handle that pull will determine even if he goes towards the positive, or does he take that pull and literally follow it towards the negative, towards evil. Rav Hirsch Zatzal notes that the line is conditional. It's as if they say, Ki yetzer leif adam, even if a man's inclination is towards ra, I shall not destroy my world. Rav Kook Zatzal said that the inherent nature of man is good. It can be nurtured towards evil and twisted towards evil, but the inherent nature is good. Rav Itzel Blaser, the great Rav Itzel Petterberger, disagreed, noting that man is granted two inclinations, one towards desire, one that's truly destructive, and his job is to figure out how does he use both of them, how does he handle each one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, Heskashti Nasati Ba'anan, I will set up that rainbow, and the Gemara in Chagigo and Daf Tazayin notes that Amistakel Be'keshes Einav Kehos, that a person who gazes at the rainbow has his eyesight diminished. Now why is that the punishment? So Moshe Shapiro Zatzal explained that the condition of a rainbow, cool weather and clouds, often bring on feelings of yish, of despair. However, in the same way that light pierces the clouds, so too Hashem can remove that despair. Avram doesn't despair, Moshe doesn't despair, Noach despairs. He deals with the people in a cool, detached manner. He didn't see the potential from beyond the clouds. And so hence, this is a statement, Eskashti Nasati Ba'anan, Mistakel Be'keshes Einav Keos. If you're looking into the rainbow, right, so then by definition, your eyes are going to be weak. You only see the despair. Our job is to see behind it and beyond it. So Noach leaves his status of Ish Tzadik and becomes Ish Adama. And he gets Vayish Menayayin Vayish Kara, and he gets drunk. And of course, who is left to pick up the pieces? Shem Vayefes. Vayikach Shem Vayefes, as similar, the Torah tells us that Shem and Yefes took the cloak. And the two men were rewarded with different rewards for the same action. And the question has to be asked, why? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that each was motivated by a different motivation. Shem was motivated by the ethical. Yefes was motivated by the rules of etiquette. Shem, who was motivated by the ethical, receives the reward of the mitzvah of tzitzis, which are primarily worn under the garment. While Yefes, who was concerned about the look, he was given the reward of burial in the battle of Gog and Magog, which is about Kavod HaBrios, or the look. Rav Saratsky and the Lutzke Rav Zatzal offered a totally different idea. He noted that while both men did the same mitzvah, Shem did so with his lavos, with enthusiasm. Yefes was a follower. So Shem gets a mitzvah which with his lavos, with life, a living mitzvah. Yefes was inactive. He was a follow-along. His reward comes as a follow-up when an individual dies. Then we read the story of the Dor HaFlaga, of the Migdal Bavel. And we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went down to see Esair Ves HaMigdal Asher Banu B'nei HaAdam. God goes down to see the city and the tower that the sons of man built. So Rashi explains that the people were the children of Adam HaRishon, but what's he adding? So Isaac Osban Zatzal explained that like Adam HaRishon, the people were not thankful because they didn't recognize where their goodness came from. This leads to people raising kofrim. People who are Makir Tov recognize the name of Hashem forever, and that's perhaps a lesson for us to put down into life. Finally, in the Parsha, we come across the generations from Noach to Avraham, and the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos notes that these are listed to show the degree of Avraham's patience. The Mishnah and Pirkei Avos tells us that this is Erech HaPayim, to show us the Erech HaPayim of Hashem and His patience. And Rav Ovadia Mibartanur explains that there is comfort in knowing that while our enemies continue to survive, in the end they all drown. But what can be said is our galus continues to grow. We don't see the end. What's the point? So Rav Reuven Feinstein Shalita explained that the only reason pure evil is allowed to exist is because the time for retribution hasn't come yet. But as soon as that time comes, the Rishayim are going to be annihilated as they were in the time of Noach. The Yeshua is waiting to happen, said Rav Reuven. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, Ki Mei Noach Zosli, and why is the flood referred to as Mei Noach? Wasn't Noach the one who was saved by the flood? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter would often cite the Medrash that explains that Noach didn't daven to negotiate with Hashem the way that Avraham did. The Jewish people help everybody. We need to fulfill our mission and expect that in its merit Hashem will fulfill the rest of the Pasuk, the Asher Nishbati Migdor Bach, right? Migdor Bach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to make sure that the enemies of the world won't come after us. We're living at a time where the whole world needs our Yeshua. It's not just us. And not just Am Yisrael, though we are primary, but we have a responsibility to make sure that the enemies of the world and the enemies of us don't come back to touch us and to annoy us as well. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu make that so, and speedily in our days, may we experience Yeshuos Nechamos and a complete the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant you and yours a Shabbat Shalom to all.